Dzień dobry, good morning. Thank you for coming. Just put on my slides here. Oops. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. There we go. Good morning, thank you for coming. I'm gonna be talking today about the Node.js platform and how Microsoft has been working together with industry partners, with the community, for the past several years to build and enhance this platform. My name is Josh Gavant. I am a program manager with our developer division back in Redmond, specifically on our JavaScript team. But as you'll see, we actually have a long history. Microsoft has a long history, even before that JavaScript team, of contributing to Node. I'm also on the technical steering committee for Node.js, and I've been an active participant in the project for a couple of years. So specifically today, some of you may know a bit about Node, some may not, some may be new. We'll talk a little bit about what Node is and why it is, why it's so popular. If you know, hopefully it'll be a good review. Then we'll take a tour, a little bit of a technical history tour of Node. I'll highlight a bit of Microsoft's contributions there. And then one of the first use cases that a lot of people have for Node is for writing APIs for legacy systems or back-end databases. So I'm gonna show creating an API for a SQL database in a really short amount of code. Okay, what is Node? That's a big fancy diagram. But really, the point is that for a long time, JavaScript worked in the browser. And then in the late 2000s, with the second browser wars, if you will, there was more and more emphasis put on these JavaScript VMs, and they became really powerful. But they still lived in the browser. And what Node does is it basically says, hey, let's take that great JavaScript VM that's so powerful right now, let's take it out of the browser, let's use it on the server, or the desktop, or an IoT device, or wherever you want to use it, even a mainframe. That's an interesting idea, but the problem is that JavaScript was not built with system programming in mind. It was built for the web. So there are a lot of libraries that are missing for file system access, for network access, for security, and those all had to be added. So the Node.js project basically takes the JavaScript VM, adds a bunch of standard system libraries, and then makes it available for anybody to use on a server or whatever device they want. Yeah, and it's even extensible. You can write your own modules for it. You can extend it for other system programming that you need. That's all great. It's a great idea. We've got these powerful JavaScript VMs. Let's use them on the server. But the question kind of begs itself, like, we have the CLR for .NET. We have the JVM for Java, if you prefer. Why do we need another VM? What's special about Node and JavaScript? So I'm going to take a stab at describing this in just one slide. It's all about asynchronous evented I/O. That's where Node really shines. So we'll try to explain what that means. So first here, let's think of this as like a thread of execution. If you're executing synchronously, everything is sitting on that one thread. And in fact, some of these stages along the way, the thread might actually be doing nothing, just waiting for I/O to come back or something to finish. But it's all keeping on that one thread that lives the whole time that the procedure, the operation is going on. Then we have asynchronous, which means some operations, some active things happen on the main thread, but then there's some things that the main thread just doesn't have to do any more work. It sends off tasks to a background thread, a thread pool perhaps, to execute. And then when that thread pool is done, it notifies the main, it comes back and says, okay, wake up again, do some work, and then it might send it back to the thread pool or otherwise finish up. And then finally, we get Node. It's really just Node is taking advantage of that asynchronous thing that we show in the middle line there, that when you are running operations asynchronously, that main thread becomes available to do other work. So we use that same thread, actually, in Node. Every incoming request, the green and the blue and the red, and all of them are executed on that main thread, do a little bit of work, and then when it's time for them to do I/O, they send it back to the thread pool, have the thread pool do it for them, and just queue up a callback, basically, to be notified when that work is done. So it's kind of like, I don't know, an analogy might be when IIS or Apache went from a more process-oriented model with like CGI to threads in the same process. Here we're kind of going from every request requiring a thread, which it is in IIS, to something smaller than a thread. You just get a little bit of a time slice on the main thread. So that saves a lot of memory. You don't have to allocate thread contexts and things for all the threads. There's less context switching. It's easier to program. The concurrency model is a little easier to follow, although it introduces its own stuff. So that's really, you know, if you watch Ryan Dahl's first presentation on Node, that's why Node. That's why he created Node, and that's one of the biggest advantages to it, although a lot of other systems are using this pattern now. But at the end of the day, if this was all there was, I'm not sure if Node would have taken off the way it has. This is the second big why Node. JavaScript is far and away the most popular programming language at this point. Of course, that includes people that are programming for the browser, not necessarily for the server. But that's exactly the point, that they can take that skill set. We hear this from a lot of customers. And they can take that skill set and pretty easily apply it to the back end. And then on the other side, we've got NPM. Maybe stands for Node Package Manager. Depends who you ask. But in any case, there's thousands and thousands of open source packages which can help you get started. And that's one of the reasons why I've talked to people that say it's like an order of magnitude less code they have to write with Node. And a lot of that is because there's so many modules available for you. OK, so that's the two big reasons why Node is that asynchronous evented I/O pattern and then the popularity of JavaScript and the open source modules available with NPM. So now I'd like to take you on a little journey through history. It's kind of fun, the history, and also hopefully there's some nice technical tidbits you'll pick up along the way. So we'll start back in 2009 as a really old platform, Node.js, 2009, not even 10 years old. And that's actually Ryan. It's a great video on YouTube if you feel like learning about Node. He talks about why he created it, all about asynchronous I/O. Shows like an IRC server. That was in 2009. In 2010, we had the first ideas of the Node Package Manager, of NPM. And why that's significant is it was this idea like, oh, we're all contributing here. We're all making these packages. How do we share them all and share this work? So I really think that it's a parallel to the rise of the open source movement. It's not only Node, but that's been an important part of it. In 2011, this is where Microsoft gets in. So when Node was originally created, for that asynchronous I/O, it used a library that was only for Linux and Unix. And Microsoft joined up with the community to create a library called libuv. I guess the U stands for universal, maybe. And they ported Node to run on. And that's actually a pretty complicated job because the asynchronous stuff that's used in Linux and Unix is pretty different from what's used in Windows. And they actually, it's a whole layer of platform abstraction. In fact, libuv is used in a lot of other libraries at this point. One that you might know is Kestrel, ASP.NET's non-Windows server, HTTP server. At the same time, once we had Node working on Windows, we were able to support it in PaaS, which originally our Azure web apps were only a Windows PaaS. Skipping a little forward, I put in the mean stack here, which is kind of interesting. Mean, I think the concept was kind of started by MongoDB in their own interest. So mean stands for MongoDB. The E stands for Express, which is a popular web development framework on Node. The A stands for Angular. A lot of people would use Angular for the front end with these things on the back end. And then N stands for Node. And whether you you know, use exactly Mongo and Angular and Express. It's not really the point. The point here is that Mongo was onto something, that Node.js is great for using with NoSQL. NoSQL databases are not as structured as a classic relational database. But even more than that, they use JSON. A lot of them use JSON as their native data format, which, guess what? Node.js, that's a JavaScript, that's its native data format also. So a natural synergy there, really, between NoSQL and Node.js. In 2014, it was the first one, give them credit, AWS Lambda, and then Azure Functions. Google has Functions now, too. So of course, that's cool. You can do a lot of cool stuff with that. But to me, so it's not only Node, to be fair, although Google's is only Node. Microsoft's has Node and C#. But it really uses JavaScript as kind of a universal scripting language. You can script your cloud, basically, with Azure Functions, with Functions, using JavaScript. In 2014 and then 2015, we had an interesting split in the community. And I call it out because of the lessons that we learned from it. Really, there was this tension between the corporate sponsor of Node at that time that wanted something stable that they could keep running their data centers on. And the community that was working with it, they wanted all the latest and greatest JavaScript, and they wanted to keep innovating. And that's what actually, that diagram there is the number of commits were along those lines in 2014. They really dove down because they wanted, the corporate shepherd wanted something stable. So IOJS split, they went really fast and started taking every updated version of the JavaScript VM that Node runs on, V8. So a few months later, actually Microsoft was a significant partner, a founding partner of the Node.js Foundation, which brought back in IOJS, but by addressing their concerns. So what we ended up with, and actually it's the first item here, is in 2015, October 2015, we had the first LTS release, long-term servicing release, which is what we recommend most production workloads run on now. It was one of our LTS releases. The latest one is 6.6-something. And what that is that fewer things get backported to those. They're much more stable. The V8 version or the JavaScript VM version doesn't change unless it's really been highly tested. So that's to address enterprise needs and people that need something more stable, whereas people that want the latest and greatest can be on current. And you risk that probably 1 in 10 releases is broken for like a day. But it allows us to iterate faster. So that was the lesson from the IOJS split and the remerge. A few interesting things happened last year. First, Microsoft submitted a PR to Node to allow Chakra, the Chakra VM, to be used instead of V8 to run Node. It's the concept here that's the most important thing, that in order to take Node to more places where customers want it, to IoT devices, to mainframes, and wherever else, it needs to support other VMs. And so Chakra kind of took the lead in showing how that might be done. Another important development was VS Code, an open source project from Microsoft, which has a great debugger and editing experience for Node. And then the diagnostics working group, partly because I'm kind of coordinate that, so I put that on here. But also, it's important because our customers have been telling us that they're looking for better tools for Node. They're looking for better insights into what's happening. And so that diagnostics working group has introduced a number of new capabilities. So finally, before we jump into the demo, I just wanted to tell you about some of the things that are coming up. In Node.js 8, I guess we're up to. Node.js 8 will be released at the end of April. So the first thing is community, which is a really important part of Node, actually, is this whole open source community that's around it. And the foundation is making efforts to be a good citizen of that. And there will be a developer certification coming out in the coming months. There's frequently members of the core committees go out and try to bring more people in through these things that we call Code and Learn. So look for one in your area. There's a few scheduled for the coming year. There's some things coming in diagnostics. So Google actually contributed Inspector, which is a much better protocol and interface for diagnosing, step debugging, profiling your Node applications. That's pretty cool. Actually, VS Code builds on that, Chrome DevTools. There's a trace controller that's been added to Node. There's no central trace system in the JavaScript VM, so we've added a trace controller, and we're working on that now. And then there are more low-level tools, like there's a plugin for LLDB, which is a debugger for getting into Node. There's a native Node API, so there's been a couple native APIs, but now there's a, this one is complete, covers all of the runtime things you might want to do in a JavaScript VM. Actually, the Chakra team wrote that, and it's in review right now. It's a PR if you want to go review it on Node.js Node in GitHub. HTTP2 is a module that one of the leads is working on and should be out in the next few months. And we also have heard a lot from customers about security. So we started a security working group and are trying to help the ecosystem and the module ecosystem to manage security concerns around modules. Okay, so we talked about what Node is, why Node is, here's our history. Now let's see if I can successfully do a demo of building an API for SQL. So, I'll stand here, that'll be easier. So here we're looking at, this is the Azure portal, and what I've done, I already set it up beforehand, I've got a SQL database running in Azure portal, in Azure. And what I'd like to do, like I said, it's a common use case, a common scenario for people that are trying out Node, just to put an API in front of something. So I want to create an HTTP API, which will return the results from a query, from a SQL database, as JSON, that I can then, you know, put in my website, put in my mobile app, otherwise process. I won't go too deep into that at this point, but I want to show you the API. Of course, I could go into my SQL database in Azure, and I could click Tools, and I can, you know, create queries here in line. But that doesn't help if I need to programmatically get at this information. So what we are going to do, let's not update now. Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to take this app here, which has most of the stuff there already, but the core lines I'm going to add in right here. So we're going to add two files. Let's just go ahead and do this. So we see, I'm just going to copy this in because it'll be faster. You won't get to see all of the great IntelliSense, but okay, so this is an example of pretty simple, pretty standard setting up an Express API. I require Express, it's like an import statement or like a using statement in .NET, not that different. And then I say two lines here, app use Express static, that says use this directory as a static site, so like I have an HTML page in there. But then here's the main one, app.get, excuse me, slash customers, that's basically saying if anybody issues the HTTP get to slash customers, I want you to invoke this handler, essentially. So I'm mapping it's a route, and I'm mapping this route to this handler. And then at the end, all I have to do is say app listen, and it will spin up and listen. So let's take a quick look. Ooh, I copied this into the wrong thing. Put this in here. And now here's the customers one. I will just copy that as well. And, oops. There we go. So that's my whole line. Actually, the SQL team has been working with a module called Tedious, T-E-D-I-O-U-S, which implements the TDS protocol. There's some work to be done on that module, to be honest, and they are working on it. So this is based on that with a couple, a little bit of sugar to make it easy to use. So you see get all, that's the function that will be called. Request and response, I get those objects so I can handle them. And then I create my SQL statement. I say SQL.connection, which will end up giving me a SQL connection. It's a promise. So I say then with that connection, send the query. And then again, another promise, which when it comes back, we'll have a bunch of records, JSON records. I've JSONified them in there. And then I just send that back to the user. Now, there's actually a script in there, and I'll put up at the very end the repo that this is all on in GitHub, so you can try it out yourself. I've already gone ahead and deployed this to Azure so we can see it. I will just go to my SQL O2 site. Actually, I don't even need to do that. Got it up and running here already. I'll refresh just to prove that it's still working. So you see I pulled back a bunch of JSON and pretty printed it. I'm a back-end guy. If somebody wants to help get this nicely in Angular, maybe for the next demo. And that is all that I have for today. Here are some resources. Like I said, the demo is available, NodeSQL API. Feel free to check it out, give me feedback, or I will, and I can share that on with the SQL team or otherwise help you. And yeah, hope you learned a lot about Node. Thank you very much.